This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
This is an act of domestic terrorism fueled by hate. An evil individual. I will not assist in promoting or emboldening his agenda, nor any movement that he would be associated with. Our diversity is what makes us special. We are three states, two countries, and one region. And as I've been saying, there is no other city or region like El Paso Juarez.
We must make sure that those judged to pose a grave risk to public safety do not have access to firearms, and that if they do, those firearms can be taken through rapid due process. That is why I have called for red flag laws, also known as extreme risk protection orders.
All right, extreme risk protection, it's needed. 33 people are dead because they had innocently gone about what we would do on our weekend, whether it's shopping at a Walmart or grabbing some grub and hanging out with friends at a restaurant or a club in a hoppin' area in Dayton. Very, very sad. You heard D. Margo there. He is the mayor of El Paso and, of course, President Donald Trump. They're gearing up for 22 funerals in El Paso. 22, thanks to a 21-year-old white male from Allen, Texas, who drove 6 hours to open fire on all those innocent people. And just as eerie and creepy is what happened in Dayton. In fact, the shooter killing his own sister. Luckily, there were police officers on patrol in the popular area, and they were able to gun him down pretty quickly. But still, 9 people were killed, and so many others were still injured in a very short amount of time. Kate Delaney. And it is a bleak, dark couple of days for us here in the United States. On the other side of it, the conversation, and you heard the president there, is it's time. And time is well up on this one. It's time for action and not conversation any longer. When the president spoke, he talked about white supremacists. He talked about white nationalism. He talked about a culture of hate, and he talked about youth and despair and what was happening. So as you look at what the leader of the free world suggests we do, bipartisanship on the Hill, and talking about red flag laws, extreme measures, that's very, very big to start to have more of that happen so that perhaps something is prevented before it even gets to that point where it's more than toxic. It's beyond that. Because this crazy nonsense that we have going on now, this combination that seems to have infected too many of the people who are easily infected in the country, has pushed those that were obviously struggling with mental problems, and they were, because this has been said in both of their cases, although they're piecing the rhetoric, they're piecing the websites, they're piecing all of that together to come up with the profile. So you have one, the El Paso shooter, who will be tried, they believe, as a domestic terrorist and could get the death penalty. And then you have the other who was killed. So now it's about the shock of the family who lost their son, who was a monster and opened up on people, fired, and also lost their daughter, who was obviously very unaware of what was happening, too, and how this all unravels is part of the mystery and part of the sadness of what's happened in the last handful of days, starting with Friday and then on through the rest of the weekend. And in El Paso, they say that the shooting suspect has showed absolutely no remorse, no regret, no any of that after having that stone-cold look and he surrendered to police. And the police that were face to face with him said they'd never seen a look like that. One of the officers said, "I've seen murderers, robbers, nothing like it." Patrick Crucis, 21 years old, charged with capital murder in the mass shooting that left 22 people dead, dozens wounded. He's held without bond. And he was arrested in that Walmart parking lot. He was sitting in his car after the attack, and police responded. He then got out of the car unarmed, walked over to the police, where he was arrested without any kind of an incident. So he's been cooperative, but again, has shown no remorse and hasn't shown much of anything. Wow. They find a manifesto, a racist anti-immigrant document, dark visions of America, hate-filled writing, and words that he said, "I'm probably going to die today." And some of the language of the manifesto reflected what people have been talking about on some of these websites like 8chan, and the documents, you know, warned of all kinds of things, especially dealing with immigrants, especially there. So they're treating the case like domestic terrorism. The Department of Justice has said that, and they're considering seriously bringing federal hate crime and federal firearm charges that carries possible death penalty. They're going to do whatever they can. You can guarantee that. But the one thing nobody can do, nobody has the power to do, is bring back the people who were killed. The innocents that were so young, a baby killed, and onward from there. No, a baby that almost was killed, but the parents instead died because they smothered the baby. The baby was covered in blood and had bruises. Just a baby. It's unbelievable. And a Facebook account that they found connected to Crucis had no posts and only 3 public friends. It is very, very, very grim. What do you think should be done? What are the next steps? I think the red flag, definitely that needs to be enforced more when it can be enforced, when there are people who are aware. But the problem is when there are people who are aware of what is happening, and that's not just an easy task to figure all of that out. The president visiting El Paso's mass shooting site, there have been people that say, "Oh, stay away, don't go in." Democrats are saying, "Stay away, don't go in there. But he is going there, and he is going to El Paso to talk to families, supposedly, etc. So it's about combing through this wide albatross of ugliness of social media for both of these shooters, piecing the puzzle together of what was going on in their minds, as to look for some kind of clues for the future, for something that could happen in the future with somebody else. This is typical of what they would do, and putting a case together, obviously, against the one. Wow. Trey Gowdy said on the mass shootings, "Right to bear arms doesn't matter if you're dead." Put that in perspective. Coming up next, China bites back, the market tanks. Kate Delaney.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. You just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to reap. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to weep. To everything, turn, 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 there is a season, turn, 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 and a time to every purpose under heaven.
Hey everybody, Kate Delaney.
A time to build up, a time to break down, a time
financial
to
breakdown,
a time to mourn,
certainly,
a time to
is what happened
stones,
on
a time to
Monday. Not a great way to take the plunge and start the week off, which already was a very solemn week because of these heinous crimes, but stocks were just simply clobbered. The biggest rout of the year. Three major indexes blaming it on the trade tension between the U.S. and China intensifying. So the Dow dumps 767 points, or 2.9%, to close out in a very weak way. The reality is that the negotiations aren't going anywhere that anyone can see, and then that sets off that panic, and it intensifies, like I said, the trade tension. The yuan drops to a 7 per U.S. dollar, an 11-year low. And, of course, a weak Chinese currency can help boost that country's exports by making them cheaper, but it hurts foreign competition. And that's exactly what they were trying to do because of the tariffs, tit for tat. That's what they're doing. They're targeting. So goods and services include things like iPhones that Americans buy, right? Before the tariffs were kind of sequestered, they didn't affect as many people. But because the latest round of tariffs attacked the mainstream, the threat of the new tariffs interrupted, I think, that truce they had in the trade war. And that's what led to the stocks just completely tanking. Beijing deciding that currency is now considered part of the arsenal to be drawn on, as one analyst said today when I was watching a financial show. So Wall Street coming off of its worst week of the year after more threats of the tariffs on Thursday, and then poof, this is exactly the reaction. Volatility, baby. You know, it's like gambling when you're standing there at the craps table, but it is back, and they're bracing for a prolonged trade war that could escalate. And since they're not coming back to the table, it could be that we see more problems when it comes to Chinese currency, and watch that, because that's what will absolutely help tank the markets. All right, a couple of follow-ups, moving away from the shooting that we obviously have been talking about a lot, and one of them is just kind of a follow-up to something that happened with Rand Paul. Rand Paul, a former guest on this show, it's been a while, but it was interesting to have him on the show. He's undergoing lung surgery for that injury related to the assault from his neighbor. So they say he's going to be sidelined from the Senate until September after that surgery. And part of the lung was damaged when his neighbor went after him. He said he would have to limit what he's doing in August, of course, and then make that return to the Senate. And he had already gone to Canada to have hernia surgery related to the assault. So that was pretty bad. I mean, that was a rough blow to him when it happened. And now he's had to have these surgeries as a result of that, for both of Kentucky's representatives. Mitch McConnell announced that he fell at his home and fractured his shoulder, and he's recovering after being treated at a local hospital. So there you go. Both of them, though, temporarily out. A little bit different for Mitch McConnell than Rand Paul. Do you remember when you used to go get a pie at Marie Callender's on the lighter side? I used to live in California. I mean, a couple of stops out of school. And I can remember that was like one of the big treats. Let's go to Marie Callender's, because they have those pies that just kept rotating around and you just couldn't stand it. You had to have a piece of pie. So just like so many other iconic sort of restaurants. 29 restaurants, Perkins and Marie Callender's, they filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Did you know the company was based in Memphis, Tennessee? They supply, part of their business, their bakery part, they supply to restaurants and distributors. And they have this thing, and I had no idea this is what it was called. You ready for this? You want to learn a term? They have this arrangement that's called a stalking horse bid, and they set a floor for bidding on the company's assets with a court-supervised auction. I knew about the court-supervised auction, but I didn't realize the stalking horse thing, that's what it was called, in September. So they're talking to investors, potential buyers, especially for the Marie Callender's restaurants, restructuring, that whole thing. Boy, Perkins Pancake House, too, same thing. Fluffy pancakes, great coffee. And now so many of them are closing. But this is what happens. And, it also goes to what are Americans spending, or are they spending it when they go out to eat? Starbucks. I mean, you can get breakfast at Starbucks, right? Because they keep adding things to their menu. Starbucks just prints money. That's what I think. I think that when you wake up and you work for Starbucks and you're the manager, you go there and you just turn the printer on. Because every time I'm at a Starbucks anywhere, first of all, there's another Starbucks that's close by. It's part of the strategy. So when you're in a Starbucks, look across the street and see if there's another one close by. A lot of times they have two in very similar locations. I'm just saying, they know it. They know that they have a good thing, that's for sure. Or they wouldn't plant them that close, because absolutely it is a plant, no question about that. In the world of technology, one of the things that's being discussed because of these mass shootings is, do video games cause mass shootings? Is there any kind of connection? I have had on the show Jason Lake, who is the CEO and founder. I know you've heard him, of Complexity. I've talked to many of the gamers, and I'm convinced, at least at that level, no. But Dreamy, who I had a chance to do an appearance with, who won the Madden game last year, was there in Jacksonville when they actually had a shooting at one of their public events. So video games keep coming up, and the president last year, remember, had a video game summit after the Parkland, Florida shooting that killed the 17 at the high school, and because you had somebody who called out video games as a potential factor. And the president supported red flag laws. He condemned white nationalism. All of that. And he also said the glorification of violence in our society. And so that includes gruesome and grisly video games that are now commonplace. That was what he said. So here we are on the video games again. Are they a factor in dehumanizing people? Is that what happens? So, for example, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick mentioned the popular game Call of Duty because it was in a manifesto. And he said, we've always had guns, we've always had evil. But what's changed where we see this rash of shooting, he said, I see a video game industry that teaches young people to kill. So, is there any kind of a movement to squash the video gaming? Not now, but it's being called out and called out and called out and called out. And studies into video games, by the way, and violence, there is no clear-cut, amazing case study that shows that. And I talked about that with Jason Lake. You know, and we know video game addiction is a mental disorder, just like being addicted to 30 other things. I think there's much more you can call out on potential reasons why the shooters did what they've done. The Supreme Court surveyed research in a 2011 decision overturning California's ban on the sale of violent video games to minors, with the late Justice Antonin Scalia dismissing a link between the games and aggression in the majority opinion. So here we are again, having that discussion. And as I mentioned, in the wake of the mass shooting at Jacksonville, Florida, the video game tournament, they're exploring that for sure. Stay with us. We're going to the Author's Corner next here on the show with me, Kate Delaney.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
New this hour, counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, reacting to the two mass shootings and President Trump's remarks. She's a guest on The Story with Martha McCallum on Fox News.
Well, the president wants to go there and continue to express his condolences and comfort and also resources. We continue to have many people on the ground, obviously, in El Paso and Dayton, and we'll continue to provide manpower and resources and other help.
America weeps
for the fallen.
Earlier, President Trump addressing the nation about the two mass shootings.
We must reform our mental health laws to better identify mentally disturbed individuals who may commit acts of violence and make sure those people not only get treatment, but when necessary, involuntary confinement.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Every hiring manager knows that a company is only as good as the people it's made from. So where do you find the best people? That may surprise you.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
This is talent worth knowing about.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
All right, Corey. There's some kind of form to work with, I guess. I'm hearing an introduction. Right here. Let's get trombone.
Wow, the institution of marriage is certainly taking a battering, I would say, and there's people that are confused about how to make marriages work. They're confused about where we are in society. And in our virtual green room right now is a perfect guest to talk about this. Mohammed Kamaluddin is with us, and he understands and has been asked to talk about this. What are some of the struggles? And specifically, his book is called A Cultural Perception of Marriage Among Muslims, but I would argue that more than Muslims can relate to this book and can really pull some of this useful information from it. Mohammed, thanks so much for coming on with us.
It's my privilege, Babin. Thank you for having me.
What was it that made you decide to write the book? Because I know you lecture and you talk about marriage and family and whatnot. Did you feel there was a real need for this?
Yes, I did. I have to go back to my part of my career as a marriage counselor over the past 45 years and the encounters that I have met between married couples and the divorce and, you know, battered wives and women being misunderstood. And I wrote a book about 7 years ago, very brief textbook on this subject called Love and Mercy, because I think these are the two qualities that should be emphasized in a relationship between a wife and a husband, love and mercy. And this is something that is mentioned in the scriptures. Almighty God says he created us, and from our creation, we take our wives and our husbands and just put love and mercy between us. And this should be the fundamental understanding of how the relationship should work. Having written that book, and I had a lot of comments coming back from my readers, and then I was asked by quite a few people to enlarge on the subject. including what we call the FIC, the general understanding of the marital relationship from its embryo, where the couples meet, the proper procedure, how they should meet, the meeting taking place. And in the book, I've pointed out the advantage that the woman has, because in a marital relationship, the woman has the advantage. She's the one who's been asked. And in the scriptures, Almighty God has pointed out that he gives her this right to choose. So I emphasize in the book that forced marriage is something not accepted. Also, I emphasize in the book that women do not understand women. And I have proof of this over the years of dealing with marital relationship. So I try to cover all these subjects and the protocols of marriage, how the marriage should take place, under what circumstances, the fundamental principles that govern marriage up to the relationship itself, where they meet for the first time after marriage, how that relationship should develop gradually, getting to know each other, and the wali, or in the Christian vernacular, they would say the guardian, or the person who gives the wife, the lady in marriage. And he should be on the reserve at all times, in case there's some form of conflict. This was not understood properly. So I emphasize these issues. I pointed out some of me, through my experiences, some of the reasons that causes the marriage to be broken down and how it should be dealt with in order to bring about reconciliation. So these are some of the points that I try to cover. And of course, one of the biggest danger we have in the relationship is anger. And this is coming from both sides. How it should be dealt with. And I've even included some of my studies, the categories of marriage, which is three, and how it can be dealt with. And I gave some examples when a person recognizes that they have a problem and to seek help and advice to control this very, very ugly part of the human behavior.
So, you know, we don't want to give everything away, but as you talk about, Muhammad, about anger and that you give tips, and I think those tips are so valuable. Give us one of the tips. So somebody has the flash of anger, something happens they don't like. What should they do?
Okay. First, we have to think, why do we get angry? Sometimes we get angry for something that happens naturally. For example, if a dog barks, a person could be sleeping and dog barks and wake him up. Should he get angry? The dog was created to bark. So therefore, if we understand, if we as a husband understand our wives and the way she performs from, how should I put this? I think a woman is, her performance is based on emotion rather than being logical, because the thing that I have observed that the woman has to go through in a marital relationship, you know, childbirth, childbearing, being responsible for a house, she prepared the food, they could be having dinner together, the husband, and the child cried, the husband looked at her. He wouldn't get up and look at the child. You know, he expected her to get up and look at the child. When she come back, the food is cold, he wouldn't come put the food, keep the food warm, and then she come back. And, you know, the simplest mistake she makes, he becomes angry. Why didn't she do this? Why didn't she do this without thinking about what she has been doing all day? And these are minor things that cause people to be angry. Jealousy, another point that I find that affects marital relationship. Extended family coming into the equation of the how the family should behave. And there are many, many, many other things that cause either party to be angry. To recognize why you're angry is the first point of reference.
Yes. Do you feel that in talking about anger, do you feel that it's tougher now because of technology? While it's a great thing, do you feel there's a lot of distractions and anxiety and things that pull at people that maybe weren't there before?
Technology may have some part to play, but not a major part, in my opinion, because we have come away from the protocols how relationship could work over the years.
Mm.
For example, if you go to a society like Africa, some place in Africa, there are traditions that binds a family together. The community will be based on a tribal relationship. And maybe the tribe of 300-400 people live in one large community, and they take wives and husbands from that community. So there's an understanding. We in the West, we marry our wives because we met them, somebody introduced them to us. The proper protocol will not follow to get to understand where the family is from. Maybe I'm from Pakistan, maybe you're from Jamaica, maybe from America, maybe you're from Africa. So we don't understand how the cross-culture should work together, which can bring benefits because of the difference in culture. But then, because of the short space of time that the relationship developed, the understanding of how it should work is not there. Okay, so they get married. And 2-3 months after, when they begin to understand each other, rather understanding, misunderstanding become to come to the fore. And this is one of the problems I find in marital relationship in the West. So if that can be dealt with sensibly, as I indicated in the book, how they should proceed with the relationship, then that could be one of the antidotes to take care of that problem, anger. Then you have behavior from men, alcohol, drugs, things like this. You know, people lose their sanity in dealing with marital issues. Men looking down on women think they are second class or how they should be treated from a cultural point of view. Whereas from a religious point of view, men and women are equal. They have their obligations and they have their rights. And if each give each other their rights and the obligation is fulfilled, then the relationship becomes steady. But it's to understand what are these rights and obligations that should be the governing instrument that actually governs the relationship between the wife and the husband and the children.
Yep, absolutely. It makes sense. We're speaking with Muhammad Kamaluddin, and you can get his book, A Cultural Perception of Marriage Among Muslims, and go even deeper on this. And as we're wrapping up, because we have a couple of minutes left, and you've said some wonderful things that I think that people could apply and it would make such a difference in their lives, but what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
I believe that marriage is an institution that should be studied the way you study to drive a car. You don't get involved in a relationship, which is one of the most important ships in human relationship, without having an understanding how it should work. So the book is an education for people, generally. So I would like people to read the book and see the different subjects that is covered in the book and begin to understand how the relationship should merge, should work. Wallyship, the guardian, finding a partner, consent, who has the consent? The husband's role in the relationship, the wife's role, sexual etiquettes, wife's duties, the children, the extended family. These are subjects that one should arbitration in case there's a problem in the relationship. These are things that people should get the grip with in handling the relationship between the wife and the husband. I've done some case studies now which people read it and see the advice coming from couples that have been divorced. One of them get married again because of reading this book. And they have a good understanding. I've also given advice to the difference between people in the West and the people from the East. So I've got a subject based upon advice to the Muslim in the West. The grounds for divorce, the signs of anger, to recognize when anger becomes a part of the relationship that is destructive. And the use of the tongue, you know. Sometimes silence could be one of the most beautiful things in a relationship.
Yes. And you're right. The case studies are so, so powerful. We're out of time, but this book is really incredible. And I know because of your background and also the power of the proof and what you put into it, the work you put into it. So congratulations for that. Pick up this book. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen
time to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame. He owed money to the IRS and they finally caught up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. Bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Wow, wait till you meet our next guest on Author's Corner. I can't wait to introduce you to him. He speaks fluent Swahili. That just blows my mind. But it's not just Swahili. He speaks a whole bunch of other languages. And he's written just a brilliant book. Yuri Vasiev joins us. And I know I got that name right. I purposely emphasized it like a hockey player. He doesn't know that I do sports, too, as well. So Yuri's written a book called Over the Equator. And it'll make you want to go to Africa almost the second you hear his story. So, Yuri, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm thankful that you're so kind to take the interview from me.
So, Over the Equator, you talk about traditions and history and just the beauty of Africa. And for everybody listening, I want to impose this upon them. I said you speak Swahili. How long have you been able to speak that language, which some people think is the most difficult, and how long have you spent time in Africa?
I've spent about 30 years in Africa, and I speak Swahili for all the time because I consider Swahili my second language, and maybe first even. And, of course, I love Africa for many reasons.
So tell people why you and I talked about this off the air, and I know people sometimes put out there, whoa, if there's one place I could go, maybe it would be Africa, maybe it would be here, maybe it would be there. And in your book, that's part of the whole thing. Why is Africa so important? Why is Africa the place that you want to see?
I think once Africa is a cradle of the civilization, and actually we all start from Africa. And the Africa somehow is still the field to study, to know more about customs and traditions, and to see if these customs and traditions could be could go on and be accepted in our modern society, or we must learn that this custom doesn't work and we must better put it aside. So I think Africa could be a good school for anybody once you start to study it.
Yeah, and you talk about the character, Russian adventurer, boy, not too far from your background, and you talk about the journey that he took sailing around Africa and the pages of a logbook being missed. Give us a little flavor of what his story is about.
This was a sergeant in the Tsar's army, and he was captured by Shah of, in Uzbekistan, like Bukhara or Khiva, and he escaped from the slavery and returned. So he was returning home around Africa, and I've been in Africa. So I tried to imagine what he came across while traveling all along the Africa at that time. And that was, it was the 17th century, 18th century, actually. And he's my countryman, not my country, my parents' countryman, Philip Yefremov. He lived this in 18th century and collected in one book. So I decided that I will pretend that I found missed pages from his logbook and put my experience, switched on the time machine and returned back to the 18th century and taking into consideration the real facts of life in Africa at those times to show the people, the readers, what it's all about. What is Africa in all its versatile images and multitude of historical and other events.
And creating the character Philip Yefremov and knowing what you know about Africa, was it really fun to write this for you, Yuri?
You're absolutely right. It was, of course, not easy, but I feel a lot of satisfaction on two reasons. And the first one, you see, I feel that I can bring something to readers and I can be helpful to those who want to know more about Africa. And that gives me a lot of satisfaction, of course.
And then when people read this, that's what you hope they take away from that? That, like we've just discussed, that love for Africa that you've poured into this character and his adventure?
It was his first visit to Africa. I think it was his first Russian visit to Africa. And, of course, he loved it. You know, I was nostalgic about Africa, and that's why I decided to write the book and put my hero, my protagonist, into this book.
I love that. And for you, it had to be a joy, like we said, writing it, remembering Africa. And we've talked about little bits and pieces of what you hope the reader will take away from it. What have people around you said about the book? Because I'm sure certainly friends, family, what have they said about it?
Most of them, they're really captivated because, they insist on me to write the book. And when they read it, you see, my memories became more palpable, more, they could feel more. And actually, a lot of people, most of them, they read it from the end, from the beginning to the end. And that is the biggest praise for an author.
That is the biggest praise. That is the biggest praise for an author, yes.
Yes, of course. And of course, it's for many of them, it's a new continent. And, my content is, whatever it is in this book, this could be documentary proof. Because, you see, I used a lot of material, historical material, and combined it together. So it's very educating.
Well, it is very educating, and we said this, it's based on your personal experiences living in Africa for 30 years, and it's diverse and mysterious, and what a continent, and you're introducing so many people, maybe some who have been there once or twice, maybe some people who haven't been there at all but desire to go there. What was your favorite place in Africa? If you had to list places, what would you list?
I don't know. Maybe it would be Zanzibar because I love the place. Like it was before. I don't know how
So it was a long time ago. Maybe the second one is, again, Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. Then maybe South Africa, Kenya, at a certain extent, and Uganda. You know, East Africa, all of East Africa. This is the place where I would love to stay for a long time.
What do you think people don't understand about Africa that you'd like them to know?
They must understand that Africa is, it's not just a continent, it's a great continent. It's a mixture of different cultures. It's like something where the human beings, you know, from the cradle to the grave, go through different events, different emotions, different, it's a very emotional continent. It's very musical continent because, see, one of the best singers I love, it's like Cesare Aguero from the Cabo Verde, and, you know, there was beautiful singers in South Africa, and there are a lot of writers like Shaban Robert in Zanzibar, you know, and it's, you know, you cannot put it in two words. Africa is a world in itself.
I like that. That's what we call a tweetable moment, Yuri, a world in itself. And I can just imagine once you put together and it was out there and it's out there now and people can pick it up on Amazon over the equator and really understand what Africa was like. Will you take your character, will you take Philip on other adventures?
Actually, this guy, he was a real guy. I didn't invent him. My second book, there is something similar to what I wrote in Over the Equator. There, you know, there's a guy who goes to Canada in the year of 1802 and stays there till 1804. No, he stays there, but he was there during the war of 1812, and he describes his adventures and describes Canada the way he looked at it at this time. So it was he traveled from Halifax, Nova Scotia, up to Rocky Mountains and returned back, stayed, you know, through the land of Blackfeet and the Sioux and all this. You know, it's something like that.
I like that. So that's piqued my interest for sure. So for people who want to pick up the book, and again, it's Over the Equator, where can they get it? I mentioned Amazon. Is that the best place?
Yes, I think Amazon. Yes, it's the best place.
All right, so I know everybody in this audience now wants to go to Africa. Yuri, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
I'm really thankful for your interest in my book. Thank you very much.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now. Anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.